Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we throw up our hands just to glorify you, to magnify you. And Lord, we want to say there's no one like you. There's no one like you. You're worthy of all honor and worthy of all praise. Thank you, Jesus. So come on, our souls. Don't you be shy. But let's give the Lord all the praise, all the honor that is due to his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning I'm gonna not necessarily balance everything. I'm gonna bring one angle of who God is as a father. I know there's other angles also, but I'm gonna focus on the one angle this morning. So I want you to keep that in context when I'm gonna speak this morning. I'm gonna bring that one angle. And there is others also. It's not just the fullness of it. But I do feel this angle is needed for us this morning. And, you know, God is a perfect father. He's a father none can compare to. It's once said, like, God is like a father. God is not like a father. He is a father. That's who he is. He's a good father. And just as I grown up, since I got saved, there was this thing of climbing into the heart of the Father and just getting to know who he is. And if I go back in some of the songs I've written, it was about the Father. And so there's something of God as a Father that, and I believe God wants to reveal to us. But then I want to turn this to fathers in this house. As we look at him as Father, I want to come and bring a challenge to the fathers in this house today. And so if you're a father, I want you to open up your heart and to be ready to receive. And just humble yourself and say, Lord, if there's anything that you want to speak to me today, do that. Come and move in my heart that which you have for me. But I thought I'll just start. I've got these two glimpses. Like, it's just like flash. In a sense, who can actually describe God? It is impossible. It is impossible to actually say, this is who he is. It's just, I don't have the words. I don't have the ability to actually put in words. But I have two scriptures this morning that is these glimpses of the type of father that we have in God. And the two scriptures that I have is in Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17. And this is where Jesus gets baptized. Yeah? And who of you would like God the Father to speak on your baptism? Well, we prophesy, and so we do hear his voice. But, I mean, an audible voice coming, this is my son. And so in Matthew 3, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then a few chapters later in Matthew 17, verse 5, on the Mount of Transfiguration, again, it's like this thing, this on this mountain, and the Father speaks again about his Son, and he says this following. He says, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. What God the Father does in that moment is, this is my Son. He establishes identity. He speaks identity over his Son. Like, if you like, Dalen is the son of David. So everybody, when you hear Dalen, son of David, you're like, David, oh, okay, I get it. And in the sense like that, you find your identity with your father. And that's what fathers does. And God comes as God the Father, and he established Jesus as his son. And he gives him, this is the Son of the Most High. So he speaks identity. And then, whom I love, there's an emotional security that comes. I love you very much. I love you. I love you. Derek is not just a love guy. Latifa is I love love. We love love. We love love. But God loves love also because he is love. And so he comes and you're not just my son. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You are my son. I love you. I love you very much. Joel David, I love you. I love you very much. And so God comes and he brings this emotional kind of security that he loves. And then, well pleased. He delights in you. He delights in you. And then in chapter 17, verse 5, it says, listen to him. He establishes authority. And he like purpose over who Jesus is. Now I've heard this testimony about which similar that's linked to these scriptures. There's this worship leader, I'm not going to mention his name, but he shared this testimony of how he got saved. And he's a musician, obviously. He's a worship leader, so he's a musician. But he was a wild one. Like, before he got saved, he was very rebellious. I mean, everything that you could use, he used. Every thing that you... I mean, he was just very rebellious, in and out of things. And so his mom tricked him, like almost like Richard. So his mom told him, there's this music school. So she signs him up for a mentorship program at some church. So he thinks he's going to a music school. And when he arrived there, he realized, okay, I'm at a place where I don't want to be. So for 3 months, he makes everybody's life in that school hell. He caused everyone that thought that they had no rebellion in them, he worked them up to rebel. And it's like he was like the Schwarzkopf at that program. And then one day, they had a class, and the guy who was facilitating the class, he said this thing, "Come, Holy Spirit." And in that moment, the presence of Jesus came into that place. And he said he heard the Father speak. And the Father said to him this, and this is what I want to get to. He says, "I know what you've done, but I love you, and I like you." And he said, when he heard those words, every bit of rebellion melted within him. Everything that wanted to rebel against God. And in that moment, he got saved. Now imagine that. God the Father speaks, "This is my son, whom I love, and I like him. I'm well pleased with him." You see, we are okay to like, okay, I'm a child of God. Yeah. Okay. I sort of kind of imagine he loves me, but to hear that he likes me, we struggle with that. We struggle with that thing. It's like whether he actually likes me. And I want to tell you this morning that God the Father is a Father who loves you. And that's why I say I'm bringing the one angle this morning. I'm not going to balance the other side of just God's who he is. But I want to tell you this morning is like who he is. He's a Father who loves you dearly with everything. He loved you so much that he gave his son. He gave everything to love you. He loves you. But he likes you. He likes you. He likes you. Huh? Can you deal with that? We're like, "Yo, God, but I've done this." And it's amazing. The Father says, "I know what you've done. So don't tell me what you've done. I know that. I love you and I like you." And the words of the Father melts sin, melts rebellion, melts all those things in here. And this Father in Matthew 3 and in Matthew 17 is our Father. John 20, verse 17, at the grave, Jesus said to Mary, when she wanted to grab hold of him, she says, "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." That Father is your Father. And he want to say this morning, "This is my son, This is my daughter. I love you and I like you. And I want to say, Holy Spirit, come in this moment. And everything in us that wants to rebel against you, Lord, I pray that our spirit man will hear this morning, that you love us and that you like us. There's another story that Jesus tells about a father in Luke 15. And this sounds like a real good father. It says the following. It says, and you all know the story of the prodigal son, or the loving father, whichever way you want to title that. But this son comes to his father and he says the following. He says, Dad, you are dead to me. Can I please have my inheritance? Because you only get your inheritance when your dad dies. So what he says, Dad, you are dead to me. Can I get what I can inherit? So he goes off and he takes this money that his dad give it to him. He takes this whatever the amount of money the dad gives him, and he goes and wastes it. He wastes everything. This son, he wastes it. Dad, you are dead to me. And he goes and he wastes it. He squandered all the inheritance that was given to him. And then at a point, there's a famine, and this guy has nothing. He's looking after the pigs. And he looks at the food that the pigs are eating. He's like, I'm so hungry. And he is so desperate that he would even eat the food of pigs. And in that moment, in verse 17, he says, when he came to his senses. So we all need moments like that. When we come to us, and he came to his senses, and he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. So he realized, hey, I'm here. If I can just, and so he prepares the speech. I can go back to my dad. I know he's looking after his servants quite well. So if I can just come into his home and be a servant, I know I will be well looked after. This is the type of guy that he's like. So he prepares the speech and he makes his heart ready. And I'm going back to my father. So he got up and went to his father in verse 20. But while he was still a long way, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Not the welcome that he was expecting. So this picture of a father. Here's the son that said to him, you're dead to me. Now returning. And the father actually was expecting him, because it says here, still when he was long way off, the father saw him. It's like, I can imagine this father every day was waiting. When will be the day where my son will come? And he was anticipating the son to arrive. And when he saw him, he was filled with compassion, filled with love for him. I love you. And he's not, and he ran to him and he threw his arms around him. Now, probably he stank like pig. He was dirty. But that didn't hinder the father. And like, I know what you've done. And we think sometimes we just want to stay away from God. And God, I've done this, and I've messed up here, and I've messed up this, and I messed up that. But the father is, and he runs to this son, and he puts his arms around him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him. Big kisses. And the son said to father, now he's going to recite his speech, and he says in verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And before he can get to the next part, but the father said to his servant, Father, I'll be as, and then the father said, he spoke to his servant, and he said the following, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. A picture of a father. I want to paint this picture of this father. And Jesus is obviously telling this story because he's thinking of his father. This father that has spoken over him, I love you and I like you. And now the son comes back. He's supposed to be rejected. He's supposed to be, because I know what you've done. You've squandered. You said I'm dead to you. And then he gives him a robe. He established back his identity. He gives him a ring which spoke about authority. in the house, and he gives him sandals. And he, you know, the slaves in those days didn't wear shoes. So the father actually gives him shoes. It's like, I don't see you as a servant. I see you as my son. Bring the fattened calf, verse 23, and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He saw his dad as dead, but that is not you died. I was alive the whole time. You were dead in your sin and your trespasses. But you're alive again. He was lost and he's found. So they began to celebrate. A picture of a father. And this father loves you very much. But maybe your experience of a dad was a bit different. You didn't have this type of dad. See, this son actually said like, and I think in our relationship with the Lord sometimes, and we bring in our hurts with our dads, and we just like, we see it as this hard master. And so when we go back to him, we serve him, not as sons. We come, yes, there is this thinking of that we are slaves to God and so, but there's also, you're a son. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And maybe you've grown up in a house where you did not experience a dad like this. I'm painting a picture of a dad, and you're like, but my dad was not like that. Your dad never told you that he loves you or that he likes you. Huh? If you would have gone back home to your dad and would not have you... He probably would not even be at home because he was an absent dad. So you go back, but he's not there. Or you would even attempt to go back home because you would even not attempt going back home because he was abusive. You want to stay away from that place. So we all have different experiences of dads. Studies have shown that 63% of suicides come from a fatherless home. 70% of juveniles in prison institutions come from fatherless homes. 40% of all children do not live with their biological fathers. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 71% of children who do not finish school comes from fatherless homes. There's another, so this impact of fathers that are falling short upon us is massive. It's massive. You know, I should have been part of this statistics. Because the home that I came out of, if I allowed where I came from, I wouldn't have been standing here today. I probably would have been an alcoholic today. I would have been part of that statistics. But God. He shielded me. He protected me. Now, every time when I speak about my, and I've got my mom here, so I want to speak nicely. Yeah? but when I speak about my childhood, there's so many things that I can say that was bad. But I want to speak about my dad, and I want to honor him. Even, I mean, he died 3 years ago, no? And I remember him as a good man. I remember our fishing trips. I remember he brought us chocolates. my dad never told us, he did tell us at times, but he never told us, I love you kind of thing. It was more like, if he gives you work, you know, his love language was acts of service. So if he gives you work, you know he loves you. So I later on discovered that. So I know my dad loved me. I know he loved me. And he did his best as a father. But he had his own brokenness. And unfortunately, that's what hurt me and my brothers and my mom. He was an amazing guy. He's always willing to take somebody in, always willing to help somebody. He taught me the skills that I know. But there were wounds. Probably what I've experienced was the same. It was a continuation of those things. So I want to honor him, but I cannot, if I allowed my circumstances to define who I am, I would have probably been an alcoholic. I remember the day when I had alcohol in front of me and I made a decision not to take it. I remember those moments. And this is not about me. It's about God's mercy and his grace, because somehow he chose to shield me through this and to bring me to this place. And he has put men and women in my life. So I went to Service Here for Christ. If you would read my diary, it was like, oh, this pain. Please heal me, Lord. It was 3 years of just healing that happened. Then I came here and there was fathers and mothers in this house that loved me. And I started to see, I didn't know anything how to be a dad. I started seeing this family. And in family, I learned what it means to be a dad, what it means to be a father. And this one phrase that went through my whole life was this thing of, I cannot do anything about what happened in my past. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that was a phrase that was in my heart. It's like, I cannot change. And it doesn't help I become bitter about the past. It doesn't help I go and moan and whatever. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this comes from Joshua 24. And I'm coming to an end right now. And this is where I'm going to speak to the men and the fathers in this house. I know some of us, and actually I want to give some time to actually pray. If you experienced a dad that wasn't there or abusive or so. Now, the healing can start today. I mean, if I'm still in the process of healing, I'm not saying I'm there. I can still see things pop out at times of those wounds. But a lot of healing has happened. And it started by forgiving my dad. It started by repenting of things that I've done because of that. And the Lord started healing me. So it can be healed. But I want to speak to the fathers in this house. And in Joshua 24, verse 1, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And I want to call all the fathers, all the men, all the sons, the leaders in this house, I want to call you to attention right now, like Joshua did in that moment. And he was speaking to the nation. Now remember, this was after all the battles that they fought. This is the victories. Now the land are being divided amongst them. God spoke about the promised land. And then Joshua, from verse 2 up to verse 13, he speaks about everything that God has said. When Abraham was in serving idols, I called him as my son. And then they speak about the Red Sea and how God saved them out of Egypt. And so he's calling for all these things that God has done. And now, in verse 13, it says, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities that you did not build, and live in them, and eat from the vineyards and the olive groves, and you did not plant. So God says, you are in that promise that I've given you right now. But then he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers that your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And then, like a friend of mine would say, here's the kicker. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered, far be it from us. And they go, like, we want to fear God, we want to serve God. Now, we can say, like, yo, but my dad was like this, my mom was like this. Or this idol, or that thing, or this struggle. And he says, like, you choose. You choose today who you will serve. Who will you follow? You chose. You can't change anything of the past. You can just heal from that. But you can do something about how you live your life from here on. So don't blame it on your dad when you lose your temper. Don't blame it on your past when you are depressed. And so go into the Father. I climbed, as a young man, I climbed into this Father that I spoke about earlier. Because I know that the answer is in there. In John 14 verse 6, it says, Jesus speaks, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. The destination is the Father. Jesus is the way. We have a destination to the Father, in the Father's heart. But we have a decision to make whether we will serve the Lord or not. And take for a moment that because I believe if we, as the men in this house, and even the sons, like even saying, like, this is the type of man that I will be in the future. If we make those decisions today, and ladies, you don't have to do that. I'm going to speak to them, you know. But I want to speak to the men right now, and I'm going to, like, and I want you to open up your heart and be ready, because we need godly fathers in this house to change the trajectory of these sisters. The statistics. I practice that word because I know it's going to be. We need godly fathers in this place, and we can't blame our past for not being that. So I want us to make a resolution. Who of you watched the movie Courageous? Huh? Now, if you haven't, it's a great movie. You can watch it. And they have this resolution in this movie that the men, the fathers do. And I'm going to read this resolution right now. And then I'm going to ask the men in this house. And if you even as a son want to stand, it's like this. As for me, I made that decision before I got married. Before I got married, I said, as for me, and I can't change anything about my past. But we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm not getting it 100% right. I make mistakes, a lot of them. But I don't blame my past. I just grow and I go to Jesus and I'm being transformed. So the reason why they call this thing a resolution is it's not a promise to perfection. It's a commitment to a direction. So this is not a promise to be perfect. It's a commitment to move in a direction. And this is the direction. So I'm going to read these things. These are things for men and fathers in this house. And I'm going to ask you after I've read this, to, if you want to say this with me as a statement of faith and a commitment towards the direction, that you will stand with me and we're going to say this together as a body, as men in this house. So it says, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, teach them the Word of God as a spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will, are you changing as I'm reading? Great. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those who I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes and repent of my sins and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for the glory of His glory. So, you don't have to do anything today, but these are things that are taken from Scripture. It's not just some random thoughts. These are things from God's Word, His heart for men. And I believe if we take a stand towards a direction, heaven's going to come to our homes. As we lead our families in this thing. Because sometimes we go and we want to tell people about Jesus. But if Jesus is not seen in our homes, we're false. It's not right. And we are called first to our homes. And I sat with Derek in the week and he was speaking about his father. And I was like, wow, I would have want to meet that guy. He sounds like amazing and just amazing father. And there are some of us that had the experience of great fathers. And maybe you are a great father. But I want to like if you're failing, maybe today is the day to change the trajectory, change course. Make that commitment to that direction of following the Lord. Actually, the title of today is Dads or Men Who Follows. Fan or follower? Men that follows. Dads that follow. Because that's what it's all about. Okay. All right. So, I want to call the men in this house. If you want to be this type of man, if you want to be this type of father, remember, I'm not saying it's a promise to perfection. I'm just saying a commitment towards a direction. Would you stand with me? And let's say this together. Let's say this together. If you're a young man in this house and you want to stand and say, I also want to live like this. And when he says, like, I'm going to love my wife, it's like, Lord, I'm one day going to love my wife, okay? I'm going to one day look after my children. But if you want to do that today as a man, a young man, to now already set the trajectory of how you will live. So I want to say, come Holy Spirit. These are not just words. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come in this moment and that you will come and change how families and how dads are in this valley, Father. And I pray that a revival will start in our homes and in the way that we follow you, Lord. And I pray that you will honor this commitment and that by your Spirit that you will enable each and every one of us to walk this out in Jesus' name. All right, so we're just going to read this. I'm going to read over the mic, but let's just go. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children, teach them to love God with all of their hearts and with all of their minds and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and to live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those who I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek, honor God, be faithful in His church, obey His word and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, we pray, let this be, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now I hear sometimes dad says, but I work hard for my family. One day your children is not going to ask you how much money that you bring in. They're going to remember that you were not there. So trust the Lord for a balance, that you are there, for them. Even if you're not the richest guy in the world, but you are the one that loves him and loves them and are there for them. I'm not saying be lazy, sit at home, but I'm saying like be there for your children. Amen. You guys can sit. Amen. We're a bit 2 minutes over time, but I just want to give an opportunity. So if you're here, maybe your dad have not been a good dad, and you just want to just receive prayer this morning, I would actually want to pray for those that really want to trust for that healing process to start in your lives. Because it had to start somewhere. And for me, that wound, and some of us actually sit with mother wounds, not just father wounds. There's wounds that happens in the family dynamic. But I'm just focusing on the dads today. By the way, dads, there's a parenting thing on Tuesday evening. And we're going to speak about discipline. And this is where we fail most of the times. Because we've been trained in a way and we actually hurt our kids because we don't know how to discipline well. So if you are a dad in this house and you have a child, you have to be there on Tuesday evening. Okay, my wife's going to speak most of the time. It's not what I'm going to say, but she's amazing. You have to be there. It's going to be amazing. But I want to give time now for those that just want prayer. So if you want prayer in that area, with a dad or a mom or just somebody to pray, it started by just forgiving. And you have to do it again and again and again. But as you do that, healing will come and that wound will be healed in Jesus. And God can come into that moment, he can heal. So if you want prayer in that, could you just stand where you are? I'm just going to do a prayer. Don't be afraid.